Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's the Dort Podcast. It's the Dort Podcast.
Rich Keith.
It's the Dort Podcast.
Hashtag.
It's the hashtag Dort Podcast.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Hashtag Dork. My name is Rich Keefe, joined as always by Ryan Davey. Davey, how are you?
I'm having a wonderful day. A little hot today, but we're having a good day, right?
Oh, man, we're still in this heat wave. Are we not?
Oh, yeah.
We are.
We are in it.
And we got a hell of an episode here to get to, Ryan. Before we do that, we ran a poll on Twitter, at Dork Podcast. And we asked the people out there, because we're the people's podcast. That's one of the other things they call us. We said, should we do a standalone episode for Luke Cage Season 2? And the people have spoken. 63% said no thanks.
No thank you. Thanks, but no thanks.
Because we were going to do that next week, you know?
Yeah, I'm glad. I'm glad about it.
I've only seen three episodes, and it's fine. You know,
it's a show that exists.
Yeah, so we'll come up with something else. We'll come up with something better, but we will talk about it. So for the 37% that wanted its own episode, we definitely at some point will have finished it, and we will discuss it, but it won't be a standalone. So that's where we are on that.
Yeah, that's where we are.
All right.
Where we should be on that.
I agree.
Yep.
This week in Dork.
Yeah! Ryan, have you seen this? It sounds like there's like a sneaky new Sacha Baron Cohen show. It's going to be on Showtime July 15th. They've been pretty hush-hush about it, but it sounds like it's going to be hopefully similar to the Ali G shows, but something like that. I don't know.
Yeah. So I was reading some article about it, and it said he's been, like, undercover for a year. Like, he's been, like, putting on, like, disguises and, like, getting interviews with people. And the teaser you saw, he actually has Dick Cheney sign his waterboarding kit.
Yeah.
Like, so, like, I mean, at this point, you know, you wonder, because people, obviously, everyone on the planet knows who Borat is. Everyone would pick him out of, you know, like, they know who he is. So he'd have to go, like, deep, like, disguises. You know what I mean? So I'm interested to see what happens with this.
Yeah, and I also wonder, too, like, because the Ali G show was...
You're high on the Ali G show.
I love the Ali G show. I think it's hysterical. Yeah. I think the Ali G character himself is amazing. And Borat has the better movie. Borat has one of the best comedy movies of all time. But the Ali G character is hysterical. And some of the interviews that he has done, I think his interviews on that show might be the best. Borat, obviously, is very good. Even Bruno was really good on the show. The show, better than Bruno the movie. But I just wonder, like, this guy, I put him in the same light as, like, a Trey Parker, like, as far as, like, a comedy genius. Don't you think? Like, he's so smart.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Like, I'll watch anything he does.
But so that's just it. So I would also watch anything he does. But he also does, like, what's some of the crap movies? I'm trying to think of the name of the, what the hell was it? Oh, Grimsby. Did you ever see Grimsby?
I didn't see Grimsby, but I did see what was the one, The Dictator? That one was terrible, too.
Terrible. Like, it's so the same guy, and, like, he's going for, like, just gross-out scenes. I'm like, wait, so this is the same guy behind, like, Borat and all these like, really smart jokes? And then he just goes for, like, the dumbest shit and just, like, penis stuff, and you're like, I don't know. It's the same guy.
Yeah, like, Bruno was a little too much for me, you know?
Yeah. So, he was also really good in Ricky Bobby.
Yes, he was good.
He's a good villain there. So anyway, so that's that show, and so I'm sure we'll be keeping up with that as it goes on. Other news, Ryan, Castlevania Season 2 will be out October 26th on Netflix. I know you and I were both very let down by Castlevania Season 1.
Well, it wasn't so much I was let down. It came out hot. Remember the first episode, you're like, oh, this is going to be good. And then just, like, nothing happened.
It was, yeah, right. It was boring. I thought it was boring. I did not love it.
Again, I think it's like another like 8 episodes, and they're like 25, 30 minutes apiece. So it's not like it's going to eat up a lot of your time, but it's something that they should look to, you know, maybe pick it up in season 2.
Give me something. Give me a little juice.
Yeah.
I'd rather just watch Arvon D's Twitch stream play Castlevania than
by the way. Show. Tuesday, Thursday, Sunday.
There you go. Tuesday, Thursday, Sunday at Arvon D on the Twitch. He's an affiliate. Nicolas Cage apparently, he's going to be in the cast, voice cast of Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse as yet another one of the Spider-Men. You excited for that? Like a good Nick Cage? bees.
I hope he just doesn't like
bees.
Yeah. The bees. I hope he just doesn't like turn it up like that. Like, look, you've already ruined one Marvel property. Like, yeah. Just keep it toned down a little bit. You know,
they made two Ghost Rider movies.
That's what I'm saying.
What the fuck? Two of them.
Yeah.
They're like, you know what this needs? A sequel. Birds of Prey, Ryan, may begin shooting in January. This is where Margot Robbie is going to be back as Harley Quinn. They have not cast the rest of the group yet, so I don't know if we're going to get like Huntress or Black Canary or Poison Ivy or who else we're going to get. And it sounds like it's going to be rated R.
Yeah, and they did say no Batgirl. So the director is no Batgirl in this. So
all right.
That's interesting.
So no, well, because she might get her own movie or I don't know. That was the whole thing. Remember Joss Whedon was going to do it? Then he wasn't.
Well, then we found out that he was kind of a creep, you know?
Yeah. I mean, everybody seems to be at this point. Everybody. Present company excluded, of course. John Wick 3 has a title. It's called Parabellum. You can explain to us what that means.
You want me to explain to you what that means?
Yeah.
Oh, so para like comes from the Latin verb, which paro, which means to prepare. From paro parare, which is a first conjugation verb, which means to prepare,
right.
And the word bellum, which means war. So on one hand, it means literally prepare for war.
Mm.
It's a command. And the other hand, it is a the word parabellum itself is a type of gun.
And for people listening to the podcast for the first time, why were you able to break that down so easily?
I was in college. I entered college as a double major in criminal justice and physics, and then switched to classical languages.
That's
so
right.
I
there it is.
Majored in classical languages.
Got
in
it.
College.
I thought that's what it was. Hey, Ryan, you'll like this. The odds are out for the next James Bond, according to MyBookie, which I guess if you wanted to bet on this. So there's a ton of names on
which
here.
Which is legal now.
It is legal. There's a lot of names on here, a lot of British actors, some I'm really not familiar with. But the leader in the clubhouse, the favorite to be the next James Bond, according to this website, is Tom Hardy.
Interesting.
What do you think of that? I think he's too big.
I think he's a little too tough.
Yeah, I think he's too tough. Bond has got to be more like smooth. I'm not saying Tom Hardy couldn't be a ladies' man. I don't.
Oh, he is a lady, and he's a guy's man, too.
Yeah, but that's... No, I know. But, like, Idris Elba is on this list, too. I think he'd be better.
Oh, he'd be fire. He'd be fire, because he's kind of a big... kind of guy, but he's kind of like, soft-spoken
a little bit. Oh, he is smooth.
Yo.
He'd be good. Michael Fassbender's on this list. Murphy.
I don't think it's a... Loki. Once you're James Bond, you're James Bond forever.
I know, like Daniel Craig, his stupid face.
Yeah.
Although he looks
Tom
tough.
Hardy, I think Daniel Craig would be a great Constantine. Don't you?
I think he could pull it off.
Yeah.
He seems short. I don't know if Daniel Craig is or not. He feels short to me.
I don't know.
I'd like a nice 6'2 Constantine, if you don't mind me saying.
I think Idris Elba is the mountain of a man, isn't he? Isn't he a big dude?
Yeah. But, I'm fine with the mountain of a man for Bond. That's fine.
Yeah.
Give me
Tom Hardy. Tom Hardy's a little too
thick.
He'd be a better Wolverine than he would have James Bond.
Tom Hardy would have been. Yeah, he would have been a good Wolverine. I mean, Wolverine now you got to retire him after Jackman. That's it.
Yeah.
Yeah, Hardy's. I'm looking forward to Venom too. In a few months, that'll be sick.
Yeah, see, it's more like that. I mean, I think he's more of like, but what like a hard R James Bond movie? They'll never do it. But like that.
If
you want to go like ultra violent James Bond, I think you go Hardy.
Would you ever go full penetration in Bond?
If Hardy's in it, you have to.
Yeah, I'd watch that in the theater. Ryan, Billy Dee Williams is going to be back as Lando in Episode 9.
Okay.
He doesn't look great though from the pictures I've seen.
Yeah, you know.
Although,
you know
probably
what? Do him up a little bit.
I was going to say, Carrie Fisher looked terrible, and they were able to like make her more than passable in the Star Wars movies. So I'm sure they can clean up Billy Dee a little bit.
Yeah.
You know?
They clean up Billy Dee. Or wouldn't it be great just to happen upon like a completely spun out Lando Calrissian? Like he's completely down in his luck at this point.
And then he does the Dusty Rhodes Hard Times promo. He just comes out. He's like, "That's Hard Times." And you're like, "What is he doing?
What are you doing?
When you're the son of a plumber. That's Hard Times." You're like,
"The son of a plumber."
That's Hard Times.
Remember the time when they were doing? They were talking about the Shockmaster, and he was talking about the two before.
Oh my God!
You see that? The Shockmaster.
Shockmaster's the greatest moment in wrestling history. Where they're like, "Let's take a stormtrooper helmet and bedazzle."
They put a two before. They put a two before. Right. At,
they
like,
put
knee
a two
level.
Before. And then he just crashing it. That's Hard Times. It's like, thanks, Lando. Jeremy Renner, Ryan, this is news right in your wheelhouse. Jeremy Renner is going to play police officer Twitch Williams, not to be confused with twitch.tv/rvond. Twitch Williams in Spawn alongside Jamie Foxx,
which is awesome because Twitch is one of my favorite characters in the Spawn comics. Was it Twitch and Sam?
Yeah, because he's. I was reading about he's going to be in it a lot. Like you're going to see him. He's probably going to get equal screen time as Spawn.
Well, yeah, and I wonder who's going to play Sam. Like who's like the big like burly the big fat guy?
I don't know. I don't know if they cast him yet. It's a good question.
But that's I'll watch anything Renner's in.
Yeah, you know, so. I think that'll be pretty good. And last bit of news I have here: some sad news, Ryan, in the comic world. Steve Ditko. Pick of the pod, he is dead. He was a co-creator of Spider-Man and Doctor Strange and is known for some, I think really, like when you think of Spider-Man as a comic book fan and like how he's drawn, you think of what Steve Ditko did.
Yeah, and I wasn't able to like talk about that. It was the day my sister got married, so I wasn't actually like able to like, you know, tweet it out, like do all of this stuff, but like the look of Spider-Man is Steve Ditko, and you know with the spider web wings and like those are all him.
Yeah, it's incredible.
You know? So it's an amazing thing that he did. And you know, Stan Lee's the guy who gets all the credit, but if you look, you know, this it's always like Stan Lee and somebody else.
Right. You know? Oh, always. So, yeah. And like, you know, whether it's Jack Kirby, Steve Ditko, those guys were Alan Bellman, who we were friends on the podcast with.
Yep.
So, all right, that's it. You ready for your news?
Yeah, it's going to be light this week. But
good. We have a lot to get to, so that's fine.
Yeah.
It's time for Davey's Video Game Minute. Even if it takes more than a minute.
All right, what do you got?
So just a couple quick things. I didn't talk about this. This was news about 2 weeks ago, but the first trailer for Shaq Fu, A Legend Reborn
came out. Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah. Shaq Fu is back, and voiced by Shaq himself.
Good.
So, and it looks like a bit of a goofy kind of game, but it's out there, and it's something that exists and something that I will definitely play
at
some point.
Okay.
Because Shaq Fu, right?
Right. Why not?
And it's a bit of a – it's more of like a side-screen brawler than a fighting game, which is kind of fun.
Okay.
You know, so I'm – and there's some product placement in there that they're saying are like the funniest thing. I'm watching the trailer as we speak, and there is the sign for FP Chang's.
Oh, yeah.
Instead of TF Chang's.
Right, right around it. I wonder if Uncle Drew will be like an unlockable character.
Let's hope so.
That'd be nice.
You know what I mean? So PUBG has their big tournament coming up. They have a big like World Cup for PUBG coming up. So that'll be all over Twitch if you're interested in watching that. I know I am. I'm much more interested in that than the other bit of news I have, which is I think tomorrow or the day, I think maybe Thursday or Friday, the new season of Fortnite comes out. People are very excited. There's a huge crack in the sky, and the crack is getting bigger.
Oh, and boy. What does it mean?
There's going to be some things So what I'm hearing is that what it's going to do is it's going to change the weather.
So lame.
Essentially what they've done now, if you've ever seen Realm Royale, where they have the map with like the different areas of weather, so now we're just ripping that off now.
Yeah,
so
we've ripped off
three games now. So someone was saying
pretty
that
impressive.
Like, they've clearly ripped off PUBG in that model with the Battle Royale.
Yeah.
I guess they had remixed Minecraft music playing during like the playground mode. So they're ripping off Minecraft, and now they're just going to rip off Realm Royale. So like this is I don't understand. Again, I'm lost on the appeal of this.
People love it. People love Fortnite.
It. And you know what? It's me. It's me.
It might be a thing. Could be.
It's a me thing, but that's okay. You know what? What I found in my video game playing, Richard, and doing more of it now than I ever have, is that just some games aren't for some people.
You're not wrong about that.
But what I found and what I'm going to actually stream tonight and what I'm going to be streaming the next couple days is a game called Hunt Showdown.
Okay.
Which you would actually very much like this game. So think of like, you know how like in Fortnite and PUBG, like the map gets smaller?
Yes.
So it does that on kind of a smaller scale. You are playing in teams of two. So there are 10 people total on the map.
Okay.
And you are all bounty hunters and you're hunting a specific monster. On the map.
Ooh, okay.
And you have to find clues that like will shrink the map down for you to find like where the monster's like location is.
Is this PS4 or PC?
right now it's on PC, but I think it's getting released. I have so it's early at when I talk about like early access on Twitter, like
yeah.
I have the early access version, which is super cool if you're a PC player, you know, like so basically what early access means is I bought the game, but it's still being developed. So you can actually like reach out and be like, "Hey, you know, this doesn't work," and they're making changes to it. It's not the final game.
Gotcha.
So you're playing in teams of two, but the kicker is that when you're dead, you're dead. Your character's dead.
Oh, okay.
So what you can do is if you're hunting this monster and like you're getting, you know, teams are coming after you or you're not doing very well, you can leave. You can be like, "Fine, take it."
All right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You can keep all the stuff you earned.
Oh, okay.
And the other cool thing too is like once you kill the monster and collect the bounty, you still have to get out. So you can actually let teams do all the work for you and then kill them as they're leaving.
Mm, classic.
So it's actually like a little bit of a twist, like a horror twist on the Battle Royale system, and it's a little bit smaller scale, so I'll be twitching that tonight because I've had a lot of fun doing it. So,
all right.
So there we are. There's the video game minute.
There you have it. Now, Ryan, are you ready for the topic du jour?
I'm sorry, I didn't miss that. What'd you say?
No, the topic du jour.
What's that?
Oh, it's the topic of the day. And today it is Ant-Man and the Wasp, the latest in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. It came out this past weekend, number one at the box office, a little under $80 million domestically, 1 hour and 58 minutes, currently sitting, or at least at last check, 86% on Rotten Tomatoes, 78% by the audience. As we do with all movies and TV shows, we begin non-spoilers. And I ask you, Ryan, did you like it?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I liked it.
Yeah, I liked it.
I liked the movie. I liked it.
You know what? I enjoyed it. I didn't like it. I enjoyed it.
Okay.
That makes sense.
Yeah. Perhaps semantics, but yes, you enjoyed it. I liked it. Now, quick hitters here, Ryan. What did you think of the story?
The story was okay. You know, I think it was a. For me, what this was, and I was thinking about the first thing that came into my head was this was a nice palate cleanser from Infinity War. Like, Infinity War was so heavy.
Oh, yeah.
And this was nice just to be like a little like, whew, like catch your breath. Okay, this is make believe. You know what I mean? Like, it felt like
yeah,
it was just
it's
trying
like,
to take
it's like getting,
the weight off.
Getting back to the smaller scale. Like, not just a joke because he's an ant, Ryan, and he works with ants,
no,
and that's
it.
Not
I
what
get,
I was
going
to
do.
That's not what I was doing there. But it is. It's a much smaller scale because you have every character, or just about every character, in the last movie, and it is very heavy, and the ending is insane. Now, this, you're like back to, all right, what can it be? Sort of like a couple of different heists. It's like our never ending heist kind of film.
Yeah.
Paul Rudd is in there. And he's always good. He's enjoyable. I would say the next thing, comedy, I thought the batting average, let's say, was not super high. They took a lot of shots at it. Like they were constantly going for the joke, and it was a lot more of the than like actual laugh out loud moments.
And this is where the biggest detraction from this movie was. It was pretty goofy. Like not funny, but it was like goofy. You know what I mean?
Yeah, there's a few characters a little kind of slappy, and you're like, all right.
Yeah, and it was that's not really – like, I'm in it for, like – I think in the tuning fork for this, like, the thing that nailed it perfectly was Guardians. Like, it had, like, kind of like a – it went back and forth.
Yeah, and Guardians –
we'll
I mean, Guardians is such a high bar, but you also have – there's a number of funny characters, but then there's a couple of characters that just aren't, and then that's what makes the other characters even more funny, and it's different humor. Like, Rocket's humor is much different than Drax's, and then Star-Lord's.
Right.
Like, they all kind of provide a little something different. Here, it seemed like a lot of characters were going for jokes. Like a lot of them were taking chances at it.
And there was a little too much wackiness to this one, if that makes any sense.
Yep, I hear you. And then the action, I thought, was really good. I thought things going small, things going big, fight scenes. You know, Ant-Man and the Wasp. So I think if you're comparing it to the first one had some cool things too. Remember with like Thomas the Train getting blown up and some of the action scenes that you realize like, oh, they're actually fighting on like a little kid's playset. So there was some good stuff in the first one. I thought they did maybe even a better job here in the second one.
I think the action is what kind of brought it, like it saved it a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, this movie. If the action was bad, if they had bad action sequences, I don't think this would have been – they would have done well.
Yeah, and a lot of them, unfortunately, they did show in the trailer. So, like, if you watched the trailer and kept up with the trailer, you probably were aware of a lot of the different sequences that were in the movie. But they were still pretty good. Like, I think they showed the Pez thing in the trailer. There was, you know, there was some cool stuff. The Wasp was really good. She's got wings, and she's obviously a better fighter than Scott Lang is. So she was good. As far as, so there are now 20 MCU movies, and as far as the connection, you really, to watch this movie, you really just need to see Ant-Man and Civil War, right? I mean, that's probably
it. You need to see Civil War and Ant-Man to get this. Yeah.
That's it. That's all you need to see. Would you say this movie is better than, worse than, or the same as the first Ant-Man?
It's a little worse.
See, I am going to say it's a little better, but I also feel like a month from now I may change that.
And my whole thing with this movie is it should have been called The Wasp and Ant-Man. This was her movie. She stole the show.
She was very good. She was the MVP of the All-Star game.
I'll get it once we get into spoilers. I'll get into why. But this is definitely Evangeline Lilly's movie.
Now, if you had to, and we've done this before, but like ballpark, where does this rank within the 20 MCU movies?
I would say if we split it into, it's in the lower third.
Yeah, see, I think I might have it.
But at the top of that list. So I would say it's out of 20.
Yeah.
It's probably like 14, 15.
Oh, I think you're forgetting some. It's definitely, see, to me, it's like 11. And I think.
Oh, no, you know what? You're right. You're right.
Because there's
right.
a lot of shit ones. Like, so right away, in whatever, or I'm not ranking the bottom. I'm just saying you have Hulk, you have two different Iron Mans, you have a Thor, maybe even both Thors. Or the first two Thors, I mean.
Yep.
I think the first Captain America is not my favorite movie. So that's already six.
Yeah.
I think this is better than Doctor Strange. Some people, I think it's in that same mix though. It's like,
and it's funny. It's in that mix.
It's in the Guardians 2, Doctor Strange, Ant-Man 1 mix.
Yep. You're absolutely right.
Yeah. So I think it's probably in the if you cut the MCU in half, it's probably on the top part of the bottom half. But which is still a good movie.
That makes more sense.
There's a lot of really good movies, you know.
And these, I would say, out of 20 MCU movies, there are three bad ones.
I would say four, but I hear you.
You know what I'm saying? Like three that are like, this is bad. And then there's some that like
I just have such a hang up on Iron Man 2 and 3, and part of it is because the first Iron Man's so good. Because I have those two.
Oh, that's just it.
Incredible
I think Iron
Hulk.
Man 2 is like bad.
Yeah.
Thor: The Dark World is bad.
Incredible
Hulk
is bad.
It's not that. Incredible Hulk is bad.
Yes, this is good. So, what would your dork score be?
Soft 4.5.
Yep, I was thinking 4.5 as well.
It's a rounded up 4.5.
And I think because there's a lot of 5, 5.5, sixes in the MCU, so you can have it be 4.5 and still have it be 11, 12 somewhere in that realm. And then, of course, and again, most of you listening to this have probably already seen the movie, but this is still spoiler-free. So there is a mid-credits scene, which you're definitely going to want to watch. And then there's an end-credits scene, which, as I said before, you're already sitting there. You might as well hang out, but that one's not the greatest. So
not the greatest. Not great.
Anything else non-spoilers, Ryan?
No, sir.
Spoilers! 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 Here come the spoilers!
All right, I think this might be the best way now to start. There's a lot of different ways to review a movie, obviously. I kind of like this idea where we're just going to kind of rip through the plot, but feel free to stop at any point. And, you know, as Michael Hollywood used to say, let's just park on that curb and let's, like, you know, dissect it if you want to do that.
All right.
So let's begin the – we see really the OG Wasp with OG Ant-Man. And Wasp, as played by Michelle Pfeiffer, Janet Van Dyne, enters the microscopic quantum realm to disarm a nuclear missile. Hank Pym couldn't do it. There was something going on with his suit. So she went in and was lost for good. This was back in like 1987. And then Michael Douglas has to go back home and explain to a young Hope that, hey, you know, your mom's not coming back.
And let's just talk about this for a second, because we got to get this out of the way right now, because it's the very first thing I texted you when I got out of the movie.
Yeah.
Michelle Pfeiffer is 60 years old.
She is smoking hot. She's always been smoking
God.
Hot, though.
She might be the best-looking 60-year-old woman I've ever seen.
She was, like, growing up. I mean, because obviously she was in Catwoman, and you were just like, oh, my God. And then she was, in Dangerous Minds. I remember watching that as a kid and being like, she is, like, breathtakingly attractive.
Mm-hmm.
And still is.
And what got me is that, like, they go through the thing in the Marvel thing where they de-aged her and Michael Douglas.
Yeah, what do you think of the de-aging?
I think they're getting better. Like, it's getting really good.
I think it's pretty strong. It's not distracting.
Yeah.
Like, I thought when they did Leia in, was it Force Awakens or whatever it was, or Rogue One or whatever it was, I thought it was kind of distracting.
But they, Marvel's, they've gotten really good at it. They do it to Lawrence Fishburne too, obviously. But like, and I'm like, oh, they did a really good job with Michelle Pfeiffer. And then you see Michelle Pfeiffer at the end of the movie, and you're like, they didn't really have to do much.
They didn't have to do much. No, they didn't.
They changed her hair.
Yeah, that's all they did. They put a little more, like a different makeup on her. Like that's, she's pretty much the same. She's as is. Oh, apparently in Captain Marvel, Samuel L. Jackson's going to be de-aged 25 years the entire movie.
Well, I mean, you can see they can do it.
They
you
can
know?
Do
it. It looks great.
They can do it.
And you think, like, if they can do that good of a job, like the first time we saw it was in Civil War when they did it with Robert Downey Jr., when he looked exactly like he looked when he was a teenager.
Yeah, he looked like he was in, like
Weird Science or something. He looked like that. Yeah.
Johnny Be Good.
Yeah, and then, and that was pretty cool. But then, like,
well, and then they did, they did Kurt Russell in Guardians 2, right?
Couldn't they just get rid of fucking Henry Cavill's mustache in Justice League?
That was really distracting.
You not do that?
That was really distracting.
Yeah,
but yeah, this, well, different studios. They don't know what's going on. So now we jump to relatively present day, because again, this movie takes place before Avengers: Infinity War, and we can kind of discuss this because this can be a little bit of a hang up for some, like people who pick through it like we do. But anyway, you have Scott Lang, who was on house arrest. They say that in Infinity War, so they follow up on that. He has 2 years, and he's running out of time here. He's almost off of house arrest, but they bring up the Sokovia Accords. They bring up what he did in Germany in Civil War, and I also think they do a pretty good job of explaining how, you know, he didn't ask the Wasp to go over there, and Hank Pym, and they're pissed at him because he went over there with that technology and went to go help Captain America. So I thought that was a pretty good tie-in. Also, a very cool cardboard setup that he was playing with his daughter and entertaining himself.
And I thought his daughter in this movie, I forget the
Cassie.
Little actress's name.
Oh, yeah,
Cassie, but the girl, I forget the girl who played, she was excellent.
She is so excellent. Good.
And I think she and Paul Rudd have a nice little like chemistry going, where like a little timing thing going together, which is super nice.
It's really hard to do like mushy scenes and not be like uncomfortable and be like, this is so lame. Like they do them perfectly. You're like, oh, like you actually feel that way. Like she's a sweet little girl, which is hard to find the right actress to pull that off.
Mm-hmm. And this is, we'll get into this a little bit later when we talk about more of this stuff. But like one of the things that I didn't really like about this movie is that Scott Lang, like Paul Rudd, like kind of sucks. Like, and it's like he's not really good at what he's doing.
No.
And like everybody around him is better than him at this, you know?
Because they did a better job in the first one showing off like what a good like cat burglar he is, essentially.
Right.
Like he's a really good thief. Like remember, he's like climbing up, like he can crack codes, he can break safes. Like he's a really good criminal. But other than that, like now, unlike most of the Avengers, like he doesn't have any powers. He has Hank's suit and technology.
Well, I texted you. I was like, I could have done that. You know what I
mean?
Like, I can press buttons on my thumbs, and I can get big, and I can get small. And
would
even then, like he wasn't that good at that.
Yeah,
you know?
But would you be able to name all those ants?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
You'd come up with some good ants.
It was funny in the theater. I was coming up with some of my own. Like
What would one of your ants be?
Oh, it'd be Anthony Bourdain would be one of them.
Oh, pick of the pod.
Pick of the pod.
Mine would be Carmelo Anthony.
Carmelo Anthony. That's
Carmelo Anthony. That'd be one of my one of my go-tos. Or Greg Anthony. Or Anthony Mason. But just basketball players at this point.
Well, you could have done like
Anthony Peeler.
The one who was playing the drums. There was the bass player from Van Halen is Michael Anthony.
Oh, that's
good.
So
if you had like a band with the ant, you know, the Michael Anthony.
What about Anthony Hardaway? That's kind of a stretch.
Well, that's Anne Fernie.
Yeah, it's a bit of a stretch. It's a bit of a stretch, admittedly.
But so that's my point is that like Scott Lang in this movie is kind of a dope.
Yeah, he's
like,
he's not as good. Yeah, you're probably right.
You know, and that I didn't like that.
Yeah, I hear you. Like, and again, he was not the best character in the movie. But that happens sometimes. Like, just because he's the lead doesn't mean he's the best. Other guys can sort of upstage him.
What Paul Rudd gets away with, and Paul Rudd will forever get away with, is just how charming he is.
Oh, he can charm the pants right off you.
Yeah, and he's just very disarming. But again, like, there was a little bit too much, like, yuckity-yuck for me with him.
Yeah, he was too much Paul Rudd for you? He was too
a little
Paul
too
Rudd.
Much Paul Rudd. Yeah.
So Scott Lang has a dream, or he receives a message from Janet Van Dyne. So he calls Hank Pym, and this is after he already told the FBI agent that he doesn't talk to Hope or Hank. They hate him. He doesn't talk to them anymore. So then they get the message. The Van Dyne and Pym do. So Hope kidnaps Lang. She ends up putting a tracker on that giant ant, so it looks like he's still at home. And let's just say right now, lots of giant ants in this movie.
A ton of giant ants.
Some play the drums. Some, take baths. Some do all kinds of things. But there's a lot of giant ants. A
lot of humanoid ants in this movie.
But so this is what I get. So then Hank and Hope, after talking with Scott Lang, now think that there's a way to save Janet. And maybe there's a line in the first movie, or maybe there's even a line in this movie that I missed. But I feel like 30 years has passed, and now all of a sudden Hank Pym's like, "Hey, let's go get my wife." Like, where were you there, buddy? You couldn't. Wouldn't that be your only mission for like a very long time?
For a very long time, yeah. You would stop like the nonsense and like. But I think
especially
they
if
talk
she looks
about,
like Janet does.
Like Fishburne, him and Fishburne's character talk about the studies that they were doing with like the quantum thing.
Yeah.
And one of the other hang-ups I had with this movie, and maybe I'm alone in this too, there was a lot of like science talk.
There was a lot of science talk. But what helped was Paul Rudd was like us, and he could be like, "I don't know what you're talking about," or like,
this
"Who's he? What's
no,
it?"
This makes no sense.
Like, you need a character like that, though.
But you had like anyone who was like a scientist in this movie, like talking to each other, and you're just like, "This is nonsense." Because I bet if you talk to like a real scientist about this, they'd be like, "Yeah, this is all nonsense."
This is mostly there's not Pym particles in the real world.
Well,
yet.
I understand,
not
but like
yet.
When they're talking about like quantum theory and quantum physics, and like you're just like, "This is nonsense." Just like move on.
Yeah,
you know what I mean,
I felt that same way at times during Doctor Strange. Like just some of the stuff that he would talk about, whether he was in the hospital or whether he was just dealing with other stuff. I'm like, I don't know what you're saying. I don't get it. Yeah. But
and we get it that it makes your character seem intelligent, but like the rest of us are like, move on. You know.
So Hope is buying parts because again they're trying to do this whole quantum realm thing. So she's buying parts from Sonny Birch, played by Walton Goggins, and he finds out that Hope. Who Hope is, because she's like, "Oh, I'm Sarah." And he's like, "No, you're not. I know who you are, and I know who your dad is." So he wants that tech for himself. He also says he's working for some very dangerous people. You never find out in this movie who Sonny Birch is working for. Have you heard one of the theories on who that could be?
No. Who is that?
This is pretty good. There's a chance he could be working for Norman Osborn.
That would be pretty...
That would be amazing. So you could now introduce the Green Goblin into the MCU through him, and he's already been set up in this movie. Because obviously in Avengers 4, you got the Thanos thing. You got to figure out what's going on there. Captain Marvel.
You were going to say the Kingpin, which would have been nice too.
Yeah, but guess what? Kingpin's in the Netflix.
I know, but that would have been nice.
I think, but the idea that he's working for somebody opens the door to a lot of things. I think one of the writers on this movie. Even confirmed on Twitter or like, it could be or it is or something. But they got to figure it out with Sony. I don't know how all that works. But Norman Osborn would make a lot of sense because if you're going to be moving on to phase 4 of the MCU, you're going to need to bring in a couple more badass villains, like legit villains. And Green Goblin's one of them. So I'm very hopeful that it is Norman Osborn. And that would be
badass.
I'm very
hopeful too. But the other thing too, were you under the impression that, one, the guys that Goggins had working for him, that Birch had working for him, were terrible villains.
They were not strong.
I don't think I would if I bumped into that Indian guy on the street.
Yeah.
Like I don't think I would have been afraid of him at all.
No, the one guy was huge.
But he didn't do anything. He just stood there. Like he didn't even throw a punch. I don't think.
No, he was.
And then the FBI agents were the dumbest characters in this movie. Like that guy who played Wu,
Johnny Wu.
Like,
yeah.
Just a jackass.
Oh,
like,
I did. I did like going back to Scott Lang, how he had his whole house like with all the cardboard and stuff. He also taught himself magic, which Ryan.
Right.
I was upset. I was like, this guy, he's onto something here. And he had the card tricks. I didn't mind how Johnny Wu liked the card tricks, but you're right. They made him too.
Like he's an FBI agent. Like he's not dumb.
Yeah, they definitely made him too dumb or like silly.
Yeah.
He was silly.
Very silly.
He was silly. All right, so now let's bring in the villain here in this show, Ghost. Ghost shows up, grabs the portable lab. First of all, what did you think of the portable lab?
Too much portable lab.
how fucking this thing was up and down and up and down and in and out and like nonstop with the portable lab. And I'm like, you can't just be popping up buildings everywhere.
Yeah, too much.
That wouldn't really work. But I thought Ghost was. I was at first. I was like, eh. Like I thought it was a sweet setup. But then once she took the mask off and started talking, I'm like, oh, I like her less. But I also liked how it ties in directly with the quantum realm. So it made a lot of sense to have a villain like that. It was also a little bit different. You know, the last Ant-Man movie had Yellowjacket, which is basically just a bad Ant-Man. You know, and like a lot of movies in the MCU early on have just mirror villains. And at least Ghost is very different than Ant-Man and Wasp. I think ultimately she was pretty good. Plus, she had like a real story. It's not, I'm taking over the world, because you can't do that after Thanos.
Right.
You can't do that kind of thing. So she's just like, yeah, I'm all messed up. My dad also worked with Hank Pym and with Bill Foster. He died, and now I'm like this. So I thought Ghost wasn't bad.
And I what I liked about this, too, is that if you, you know, fan of like the, I have a very superficial knowledge of the Ant-Man comics, but like Hank Pym is a dick. Like nobody likes Hank Pym.
Yeah, he hit his wife.
Yeah, he was a drunk. He was abusive. Like, and they kind of like flirted with that a little bit, where like, you know, Bill Foster doesn't like him.
Yeah.
You know, Ghost Dad hated him, and that's the whole reason that he did what he did. So like, nobody likes him. And they talk about him and Janet when Paul Rudd is Janet, and they're talking.
Yeah.
They're like, oh. Like, this is the first fight we've had, and we just squashed it in 10 minutes, meaning, like, we fought before.
Oh, yeah, and like, it got physical.
Yeah, like, everyone fights with Hank. Like, that's what I liked they did with that.
That was good. And, like, I don't know if you just said it, but with Bill Foster, they were like, oh, and, like, everybody had a problem with him. Because, like, or was it, maybe Scott Lang made, like, a reference, like, geez, like, you've had a lot of falling outs, because obviously, like, Starks hate him. Like, everybody has issues with Hank Pym. So you find out that so then Hank turns to Bill Foster. So we're introduced to Goliath. So he is now in the MCU. I like how they have some of these older characters, though, because again, when these comics were first written in like the 60s or whatever, all the characters were about that age then. But so now they've spaced it out. So you have Hank Pym and like Howard Stark are old. Captain America, obviously, you can mess around with the timeline, and then you have Goliath. Or Black Goliath, although they left that part out, which is probably for the best. But that's what he also used to be called in the comics.
Black Goliath, yeah.
Like, all right, fine. So he's working with Ghost, and you get that whole story. So then the next thing you know, Hank, Scott, and Hope are all being held captive by Ghost, or Ava. She ends up telling her the story of her father. So her father, well, I guess they say is dead in this, but in the comics, her father was Egghead, who is one of the villains, one of Ant-Man's like really only villains. Because I think Ghost was... Actually, Ghost, I believe, in the comics was a male. So they flipped her into a female for this. Doesn't really matter. It's fine. Story's still the same. So whatever, if you want to do that. But it was a male in the comics, and I believe like an Iron Man villain. But either way, they bring her into this. Ghost just needs a cure and decides that she needs to use Janet for this. And then they're all like, oh, no, like they're gonna kill Janet. And then all of a sudden you got ants in the Altoid case. The old classic...
The old
gag.
For the oldest trick in the book.
The old standby. Ants in the Altoids. So then you get that. What'd you think of the scene where Janet takes over Scott's body and then helps Hank and Hope find her?
The only issue I had with, I mean, this isn't the only issue, but one of the issues I had with this, everything was a little too convenient with Janet.
Yeah.
Like, she put an antenna. Where did she get the antenna to put in his head? Like, you put an antenna in his head. Smart. Like, what are you talking about?
I know.
And then they're like, oh, well, Ghost needs a cure, and she has to, like, drain your body to, like, do it. And they're like, no, I can just touch her forehead. Like, this is this quantum thing. Like, I think it's intentionally confusing so it can be what it needs to be given the right circumstance.
Yeah, that's probably true. Like, nobody can really explain exactly what it is. So you can
just
like,
it does this when I need it to do this, and it does this when I need it to do this. So it's like this very, like, fuzzy thing. They're like, no, I just have to touch you, and you're healed.
No, that's true.
And then we go in at the end, and we can just, like, extract it. Like, what are we talking about
here? It's a whole thing. I did, like, so going back to Sonny's, like, henchmen and, like, how not intimidating they were, I like when they catch up with Luis, and then you have that whole bit about the truth serum. Like, that's pretty funny.
That was pretty funny. That was the only time I laughed, like, out loud.
That was good. And like, those guys just be like, it's not truth serum. He's like, ah, it's truth serum. Then like, T.I. and the other guy are like, it sounds like truth serum. It's truth serum. And then they're like, where's Scott Lang? And then he, like, goes into this whole thing. And so that's obviously ripped from the first one where he's telling a story. But that's fun. Like Michael Pena, his
Michael
Luis.
Pena. I was just Googling his name. Yeah,
Michael Pena, best character or funniest character. I think Hope Van Dyne as the Wasp was the best character in this movie. But Michael Pena's Luis is still the funniest. His storytelling, even though you knew they were going to do that again, I don't care. Fine, still really funny.
What I loved is when they did it, when they cut to him speaking for somebody else, and they had the actual actor like say his line.
And like they did a great job, like both Paul Rudd and Evangeline Lilly as like sort of talking like they think that he would talk, and like so it matched up perfectly. They did a good job with that. That was funny.
And I liked him with the longer hair too. I thought that was really funny in the jail cell.
Yeah. Oh yeah, that was funny when he pops in and he's talking to him. Yeah, that was good. So then Scott Lang gets out of there, because he knows they're coming, because he's still on house arrest, so he has to go back. I feel like they did this too many times. The old like Agent Wu bursting through, and then like here I'm already here, and they're like, oh, okay.
Like, I think they did that 3 times.
It felt like a lot. It felt like they did it a ton of times. It reminded me of Jessica Jones season 1 when they were like, oh, we found Purple Man. Now we gotta go find Purple Man again. Found him. Lost him.
He's gone.
Found him. You're like, oh, my God, damn it. So then Scott ends up breaking them out of prison with the help of a bunch of ants. So that's good. So now they're finally going to go after Janet Van Dyne, and Hank jumps into the quantum realm and meets up with her. I thought some really cool stuff in there. Because, again, it can be anything you want it to be, so it's like chaos. But the one scene that stood out to me, he's like in the one area that's got like all the different colors and some of like the weird like creatures or whatever that are in there.
Yeah.
And then he shoots out, and it's almost pitch black, and they like cut the sound, and it's really eerie. Like, and sitting in the theater, it's like, I think that's what death
super
would feel
quiet.
Like, isn't it? Like, it's just, that seemed pretty messed up to me, that part.
The other thing I was going to mention, too, that I really... the other part I kind of chuckled at is when they're breaking out of prison. I want to go back to that.
Yeah.
And he, like, drops the Wasp suit, like, on the table.
Yeah.
And then he's like, well, what about me? And he drops him, like, an FBI jacket and
a hat
and sunglasses, which is a callback to the time he's like, we're not in disguise. If we're in a hat and sunglasses, we're just going to a baseball game.
Which is great.
So he drops him. The FBI stuff, and Hank looks down and he's like, perfect.
You know what I mean? Right, then he just walks right out of there.
Disguise.
It's like, we have Hank Pym in custody. He just walks out with a hat and jacket. And you're right, it's a great callback, because that's one of the things, like, I don't know how many MCU movies have done that. Like, Captain America and, like, all those guys, like, Bucky Barnes. Like, they've all done, like, the Tony Romo, like, brandless hat and sunglasses. And it's like, nobody knows who you are. And so they go right back to it, which is...
And he goes right back to it. And he, instead of like him being pissed and being like, oh, like what the hell? He's like, oh, perfect.
Yeah, you're right. So then Janet ends up coming back. She's got to help Ghost out with some of her energy and all that. But you also finally get Giant Man. So like you saw in Civil War, and what they didn't really tell you until, you didn't really know this until this movie, is like when he gets tall, he gets tired. So he tells you later that he's like, oh, I slept for 3 days after the airport scene in Civil War. So he gets big. He's down on the pier in San Francisco. He's trying to get the goddamn portable lab back, and he's huge. But some pretty good stuff. But again, they show this in the trailer, like him stopping the truck and him getting out of the water, and like you can see how big he is. Like they already showed you that stuff, but it was still pretty good.
It was pretty good. And like I said, what killed me about this, and we'll get into it later, what I liked and what I didn't like. But like, you know, I just thought that he wasn't very good at being Ant-Man in this movie.
Yeah, he was kind of fine. He was just like
.
So then really, I mean, at the end, it's pretty much wrapped up. Like all the good guys are free. Now, some of them are on the run, you know, and so Goliath is with Ghost. They're together. You get Hank and Janet are together down, you know, they got a house on the water. Scott and Hope look like they're
together.
Another shrunken house, for Christ's sake. Scott and Hope look like they're a couple, essentially, now. They're watching a movie with Cassie. That's a cool little scene. They're in, like, a Matchbox car watching a movie. It looks like they're at a drive-thru, but it's really just a laptop. So that's kind of cool.
Which I thought was pretty neat. There was there was several conversations that Scott had with Cassie, and her being like, she's like, well, you just need a partner. And he's like, well, yeah, but she doesn't want to be my partner. She's like, I'm not talking about her. I'm talking about me.
Yeah.
Which would set up the new or young Avengers, or like the young Avengers.
Right. But yeah, because Cassie becomes a superhero. Yeah.
The Stinger, I believe.
Yes.
She's like Ant Girl or like Stinger.
Stinger. Yeah. So that's pretty cool.
Pretty cool.
So this is, I don't know if I should say this or not, because it's like a minor spoiler, because there's been like some leaked stuff.
We're into spoilers, bro.
No, not for this movie. Like, there's like screenshots and stuff for like future movies that I don't know if people want to hear or not, but there's like a, what do you think? No?
Well, if you ventured into these spoilers, I think we're all spoilers right now.
All right, so like I would just say there's a couple things. So one, and we'll get to the mid-credits here coming up, but there's like the idea that when one thing they said to Scott Lang was that when you're in the quantum realm, be careful of like time portals. Like, don't go near like time portals.
So that you're gone for good.
Yeah, so that leads you to believe, or you get popped out like years ahead or years behind or whatever else. So yeah. There's the theory that could keep him on ice for a little while, and then he could pop up later on, like years down the road. And I guess there's one website that says they may have already cast another Cassie, and she's like a teenager. Like, she's like a lot older.
I would suck, because I think this girl's really good.
This girl's amazing. This girl's great. I would like to see her and keep this role going, and maybe that'll change. And I think the MCU, what's also fun with some of these spoiler things is, like, you might think it's a spoiler, but they've done a nice job of, like, swerving you. Like, you remember the Infinity War trailer, Hulk is running down he's running as Hulk, and you're like, that didn't happen in the movie.
So if you heard the theory that the reason that Bruce Banner couldn't change into the Hulk was because that was Loki? Have you heard that theory?
No. So Loki was Bruce Banner?
Bruce Banner was Loki.
Oh, I don't believe that one. I like a good theory as much as anybody, but I don't buy that one.
Yeah.
All right, so let's get to the mid-credits scene here. So this is there's a lot of questions, I think, off of this one. So you get out of the back of a van, you get Hank, Janet, Hope, and Scott. They're trying to harvest quantum energy to help out Ava. Scott goes inside, and while he's inside, Hank Pym, Hope, and Janet Van Dyne all turn into dust. So that is the moment where Thanos snaps his fingers. Scott is still alive, but he's trapped inside. First of all, what's the deal with the timeline? Like, how much, if anything, do you think Ant-Man and this crew knew about what was going on in Wakanda and in other parts of the galaxy? You think they had any idea?
I mean, there should have been at least some idea. You know what I mean? If you think of Infinity War, like, that happened in the span of, like, a day.
Infinity War did happen very quickly, I'll give you that. And these guys are at least in San Francisco. They're not in New York City, like the fucking Defenders who aren't going to pop their heads out. They're at least on the other side of the United States, but like there's just like a throwaway line in Avengers Infinity War about like Hawkeye and Ant-Man. There's like, oh yeah, like he's on house arrest. It's like, well, he's almost out of house arrest, and now he's been out because this wasn't the next day that they had the van set up and he's going into the quantum realm. So I wonder if they could have gotten a hold of them or not. But anyway, so we know for a fact that the whole 2-hour movie takes place before the events of Infinity War. We don't know if it's we don't know if it's a week, a day, months. We don't know exactly what it is, but it's definitely before. Then the mid-credit scene is the snap. Do you think Scott Lang was impervious to the snap because he was in the quantum realm, or is he just one of the lucky 50%?
Well, he might just be the lucky 50%. But the other problem I have with this too is like if Janet is like the expert on the quantum realm because she's been in it for 30 years.
Yeah.
Why didn't you send her?
But it's the same kind of bullshit like with Hank Pym when he's like, well, I've been messing around with this too much. Like, I can't be in the suit anymore. And you're like, well, you're just going to let your daughter and Scott in the suit all the time?
Yeah.
So like, it is a little weird.
Janet's been down. Like, I know you've been down there for 30 years and that's the last place you want to go.
I think that's why. If I was Janet, I'd be like, I'm not getting back in there.
Yeah.
And Scott's like, I've been in it too and I can do it. And he was just going to go in and out. And like, they were going to be there. They had the headset and they were ready to talk to him. So now he's stuck in there and that's terrifying. And so the snap happens. The other thing, I didn't see it, but some people believe that inside the quantum realm with Ant-Man in there, you could see Thanos' eyes.
Really?
Did you buy that? Or the other thing that I saw when I was looking it up online, there's some like weird kind of screen grabs. It's tough to really make it out. I think it might be Dormammu. It looks a little bit, I think it might be Dormammu because, again, Doctor Strange can also get into the quantum realm with all his bullshit that he does. I think it's Dormammu's in there, but there's another theory that it's Thanos can see him, which is just kind of eerie to think about, but it's also pretty cool.
Will Scott Lang ask him to bargain?
I think he's going to have to several times. I think that's all he's going to have to do. So that was pretty cool. That was a great mid-credit scene. Unfortunately, they gave it away. Like, they really did, I thought, when even the goddamn trailer now for Ant-Man, this is like on Thursday night. They were like, and make sure you stick around to the end. Like, it's like, yeah. You're like, all right, you're obviously going to fucking tie it in with Infinity War. Like,
of course,
we know.
You are. You have to, right?
Then there's an end credit scene, which again is on the one hand a little bit of like a throwaway nothing, but you do see Scott's empty house. There's a big ant playing the drums, but you also see the TV, like emergency broadcast signal, which outside of the Nick Fury, Maria Hill kind of like end credit scene, like where they're in New York City. This is the only other time, I believe, that after the snap, you see like the what it looks like in the world. You know what I mean? So all these TVs are probably boom like that. Half the people are running around going crazy, not knowing what's going on. So I thought it wasn't a complete, like, this wasn't Howard the Duck. Like, at least it gave you a little something extra.
It gave you a little something extra, but you could have tied that back into, like, you didn't have to do two post-credit scenes. Like, you could have put that at the end of the first one, you know? And the thing that pissed me off, like, the ant playing the drums, like, that was in a commercial.
Yeah, we saw that, too. Good point. Yeah, we saw that,
trailer,
too.
So it's like, it wasn't bad because, it was just, that pissed me off. That it's one thing to, like, remember what they did with Homecoming with Captain America? Like, that was funny because, like, you never saw that. It's like, sometimes, you know, you got to be patient. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, that was pretty good. That was like an aww.
Like, I thought
it was
like, oh, you got me. That was
funny.
Yeah,
you got me, you bastard.
It was dumb. Like,
right.
It was dumb.
So best parts of the movie, and I think we hit on some of them throughout, but for me, like, again, the Wasp and Michael Pena, they really stood out. How about him dropping a weather?
I thought that was awesome. Remember that, the beloved commercial?
Oh, my God. Because that was so good for such, like, a short period of time, the Was Up. It was so popular, and then it was, like, dumb, and then it's been so many years now where if anybody does it now, I laugh. Like, I think
it's funny again.
I think it's great again. We already mentioned Cassie and Paul Rudd together were really good. I think the sunglass disguise bit was funny. Also, Paul Rudd calling Captain America Cap, and then them being like, Cap? He's like well,
Cap.
You know. And then the mid-credit scene was obviously was really, really good.
Yeah, I like the truth serum bit. I thought that was really funny. Like, yes. It's truth serum. That doesn't exist. I'm like, well, it's basically truth serum.
Yeah, I agree.
I liked the character. I liked Ghost. I thought she was kind of a cool character. Like,
cool.
Cool costume. I love Michelle Pfeiffer. Not enough Michelle Pfeiffer as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, definitely could have had more Michelle Pfeiffer. I'm with you on that.
I like the fact that that Hank Pym is an asshole. Like, he's not just like an old crusty old guy. Like, everyone doesn't like him.
Yeah, that is good.
You know what I mean? And I liked, again, I liked the... Paul Rudd is very charming, and I like the scenes with the daughter and stuff like that. And so getting into, I'll skip ahead to the worst parts.
Yeah.
I thought the FBI were dummies. I thought the secondary bad guys and, like, Walton Goggins, like, they were kind of dumb.
I do like Walton Goggins, like, in most things, and, like, he plays Walton Goggins in most things, but, like, I don't know. I am very intrigued on, like, who his boss could be. So that could go in one of two ways. That could either be Norman Osborn and be incredible, or it could be Kingpin, or it could be somebody and be incredible, or it could be a major letdown, or we might just never know.
Yeah. And the one other thing that I would say that I didn't like about this movie, because we kind of touched on some stuff, but, like, I wish Paul Rudd, as Ant-Man, had a little bit more balls, like, when it came to, like, his daughter.
Yeah.
Like, because there were a couple times in the movie he was like, I have to go. Like, I have to go now. And, like, there was a scene where they're like, oh, she's going to go after my, like, she's going to go after my daughter. Like, Ghost is going to go after her his daughter. And he, at that point, should have been like, no. Like, I'm leaving. You know what I mean? And mm-hmm. he's like, well, you know. Yeah. And, like, she, and then have Cassie kind of talk him out of it and be like, no, you need to go help them. But have him be like, you know, you grew up without a mother, and look what that did to you. My kid's going to grow up without a father. I'm leaving now.
Right, yeah, you definitely could have played that up more. Yeah,
have a little bit more balls as the character, because you're a convict, you're an ex-con. Like, stop being a goofball.
Yeah,
you know?
I'm with you.
I would have liked the movie a little bit more if he was less goofball, a little bit more superhero.
Yeah, I think overall, and, like, I'm fine with a movie that is obviously, like, goofy, but it was a little too slappy. Like, it was already it was such a departure anyway from Infinity War. Like, they didn't need to go that far down the road. So I'm with you on that. This is also like a throwaway thing, but I thought it would have been cool, that scene where Ant-Man and Goliath are talking about, like, how big they get. I thought it would have been cool if Goliath had, like, a photo somewhere of when he was, like, Goliath. And, like, it's just a dorky comic book nerd thing of me, but it would have been cool. Like, you know how we've seen old footage or old video of Howard Stark, and we've seen like a young Hank Pym. I think it would have been cool because like they showed the scene where Egghead dies. They showed that scene.
Yeah.
I thought it would have been cool, even if it was just a photo of Goliath in like the old school Goliath costume, being like,
giving like a thumbs up.
Yeah, like this is what I was, man. And then he could have been like, I thought that would have been kind of neat. But do you, Ryan, want to see an Ant-Man and the Wasp trilogy?
I did, yeah, because I think this needs to get tied up a little bit.
I think they need one more too. I think it would be good. I think, and you know, they're going to be starting phase four coming up, and I think it's worth it. I think if you're going to do, you know, three Thors, and the third one was obviously awesome. You did three Iron Mans, you did three Captain Americas. I think Ant-Man definitely, especially with the Wasp being such a strong second character. I think it's definitely worth it.
Again, this movie should have been called The Wasp and Ant-Man.
It definitely could have been. How do you think this is going to impact Avengers 4? I mean, it's got to be Quantum Realm stuff. They got to. I don't know what they're going to do, but and then how the hell is Ant-Man going to get out of there?
Well, I guess, like you said, there could be this thing with like, because why would you mention time portals if
right.
you weren't going to use them?
Exactly. Definitely
what
time portals.
What if he shows up in the 90s in Captain Marvel? You know,
he absolutely could. It's a good point. Somebody also said there's like a Captain Marvel logo somewhere in one of the end credit scenes, but I'm like, I didn't see it.
I would have liked to have seen her. I would have liked to have seen a little bit of that. I'm fascinated with Captain Marvel right now, and I need to know what's going to happen with her.
They have to, and they know this. They're not dummies. This isn't the DC universe. They have to explain why she was never called before. They have to. Like, they have. You can't be like, so she skipped a like, was it not a big deal when Loki was destroying New York? Like, was that not a big deal? Or, like, Ultron? Or, like, when?
Don't call me for that little shit. Don't call me for that.
Like, only if Thanos, like, literally only if Thanos snaps his fingers, give me a holler. Like, that.
Like, there has to be a scene with her and Adam Warlock on the screen, and someone look at them and be like, where the fuck you been?
Right, like, you know, like, they're like, let's hang out with Daredevil, and you guys never call him, so.
Yeah, well, I figured, you would call me when you really needed me.
So that's the next MCU movie. The 21st one will be Captain Marvel, March 8th of 2019. Then we're getting Avengers 4, still untitled, May 3rd of 2019. That will be the end of Phase 3. Phase 3 has been off the charts, by the way.
Oh, like, this has been, the last 2 years have been just Marvel. Like, that's the reason you go to the movies is Marvel.
I mean, it's unreal. When you think about Black Panther and Infinity War from this year, you go back
Homecoming.
To Spider-Man and Ragnarok and even Guardians 2, which wasn't like the greatest movie ever, but like just it's been an awesome, awesome run. So then Spider-Man Far From Home is July 5th of 2019. They've been trying to go recently to three Marvel movie or MCU movies a year. And then Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3 is already down for 2020 at some point. But pretty badass, Ryan.
It's been a good time for DC to kind of regroup and lick the wounds.
Yeah,
you know,
so
let them do their thing. You know?
Yeah, absolutely. So let us know. Give us a shout on Twitter at Dork Podcast or email us dorkpodcast@gmail.com. Your thoughts on Ant-Man and the Wasp. Let us know if you saw Thanos in the Quantum Realm or if you thought it was Dormammu or maybe we're just making that up. I don't know. I thought I read that on the internet street somewhere. So let us know what you thought about all that.
And just seriously, just to wrap it, you know, to put a bow on it, like, it's a movie you should see. It's good. It's a good little, like, this is the type of, it's a little bit goofy. It's a little bit wacky, a little zany.
A little slappy.
But again, it's a summer movie, and, like, what people have, you know, it's not as dumb as Jurassic World. That was dumb. And I'll stand by that to this day. But this is, like, a little bit more substance to the dumb, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
I know you don't agree with me, but
I agree.
Sweet dino action.
Sweet, sweet dino action. No, this was this was better than Jurassic World.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. It's fine.
I'm working on my rankings of 2018 movies. I'm trying to have that so by the end of the year I'm ready to rock and roll.
And that's the other thing. I was watching we didn't mention the trailers before this movie. There's a lot of bullshit coming out.
Oh, my God. Oh, that was, I wanted to talk about the trailers because I'm so used to watching R-rated movies, I feel like. And then if it is a PG-13 movie, there usually is one or two comic book movies or like a Star Wars movie to preview.
Yeah.
This time around, there wasn't anything like that. So it was like the fucking Nutcracker. It was like Dumbo. It was that Jack Black movie with the clock in the wall. It was just like, no, I was like, I don't want to see
any
of these.
The stupid robot dog movie, Axel. What the fuck is that?
I'm
basically
out.
Just Short Circuit with a dog.
I love Short Circuit, but I don't need. Dogs are cool enough. I don't need a robot dog.
Yeah, Bumblebee was another. Like,
yes, what? I saw Bumblebee. Is this
and the only other, the only cool one, that, the one I'm actually interested in seeing is the fantastic new Fantastic Beasts. But I'd seen that.
Oh, I do. I want to see that too. But then there's that other movie where it's like, I've seen this preview nonstop. It's like all those kids. It's basically like an X-Men movie that's not X-Men.
Yeah, just wait for the new
I hate it.
Like, by the way, I'll get to the pick of the pod, by the way.
Oh, okay.
Pick of the pod.
Pick of the pod.
Pick of the pod.
Pick of the pod.
You're obviously very excited, so I'll let you go first.
I want you to go first, though.
All right, well, I was on the Weekend Warrior pod. I was on that last week, and we talked sports, but then at the end, Pat, the host, asked me a very interesting question, Ryan, and this was pre Ant-Man versus the Wasp. He said, if you could only watch one starting now, you can only see how the MCU finishes or how Game of Thrones finishes, which would you choose and why? And obviously, I'd love to see both, and I will see both, but if I had to choose, I told him I was going with the MCU, only because I understand there's spinoffs in Game of Thrones, and that's going to happen, and those could be good, but there's 6 episodes. And yes, I'm dying to know how it ends. I want to know who's on the throne at the end, but the MCU has Ant-Man. It just has all those movies that we just mentioned and more. And like Avengers 4 is going to be as must-see as it gets, so great question by him, but I'm going with the MCU.
And I'm with you. Like you, I'm going to borrow your phrase, gun to my head, gun to my balls. If someone says you can never watch Game of Thrones or can never watch MCU again, I'm be like, you know what? I think I already know what's going to happen with Game of Thrones, so I'm good. I'm good there. Like, someone can tell me later. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Whereas the MCU, there's so much more coming. Like, I feel like this is
There's
volume is coming.
Going on.
And I'm so invested in this that I need to see it.
Yep. I'm with you.
Yep.
What do you got?
So speaking of the New Mutants, which I just brought up, your boy, Marilyn Manson, did a song for the New Mutants soundtrack. He did a cover of Cry Little Sister.
Ooh.
Which is, if you remember, is the theme song from The Lost Boys.
Oh, that's going to be sick.
And it's good.
I bet.
So
the talented magician.
It's out now. It just came out yesterday.
Musician.
So,
okay. So, I'll take a listen.
Take a listen, your boy Marilyn Manson.
I love it.
You love when he did his covers, when he did the Willy Wonka song and all that stuff.
Apparently,
that
when
was terrifying.
Apparently, when he's in concert, he does like a. I've never seen him actually in concert, but apparently, he does like all kinds of covers. It's just like anything goes.
I know
Beatles.
You love a good scary cover or something.
I like a good scare up a cover, a horror up a cover for me, if you could. So I like that very
much. Like a little Blue Monday.
Ryan, we got to figure out, so next week we were going to do Luke Cage. We're now not going to do Luke Cage. Again, for Luke Cage fans, we will talk about it at some point. I feel like the Netflix series are losing a bit of steam. I'm still going to watch them, but I don't know. Like Iron Fist Season 2, I don't think we're going to do a standalone. So maybe down the road we'll group up a bunch of TV shows like we've done in the past and do that.
How about we do, so what's coming out? So we're going to do Punisher 2, Luke Cage 2, Iron Fist 2. And then we group those all together and do one episode with those.
We could do that. Daredevil 3. I mean, if Daredevil 3 is really good, maybe we'll do it. But anyway, next week, what do you think for next week? What should we do?
Let's do something special for the people. You know what I mean?
Do you want to do
throw them a curveball?
Do you want to do Breaking Bad?
At this point, we've been harangued enough that we kind of have to, right?
So how about this? So if you're listening to this, this will give you guys time to rewatch it. Or watch it for the very first time, which will be a treat for you. Or rewatch it, and you can enjoy the episode next week. It'd be too overwhelming to do the whole series. So let's do season 1 Breaking Bad next week. I think it's only like 8 episodes, right?
Yeah, and I'm excited to watch. I'm going to watch it again.
And they're all on Netflix. So season 1 Breaking Bad, that'll be our episode next week. So jump in there. If you're not interested, that's fine. We're still going to do This Week in Dork. We'll still do Pick of the Pod. We'll still do all that. Davey's Video Game Minute. All that stuff will be in there. But this way you can kind of watch along or get a head start and relive one of the greatest television shows of all time. So Breaking Bad Season 1 next week. We'll eventually do all the seasons, but don't worry. It's not going to be the next 5 weeks of that. We're gonna ping pong around like we did with The Wire a little bit. So that'll be that. That is it for the week. You can rate, review, and subscribe on the iTunes, #Dork. We're also on Stitcher and Google Play. Tell a friend. Tell a dork. WEEI.com. @DorkPodcast on Twitter. YouTube.com/DorkPodcast. We've got some new videos up there. You can, of course, email us, dorkpodcast@gmail.com. And Ryan, what about you?
You can find me on Twitter, on Instagram. Dork Podcast on Instagram is alive and well, so I'm going to start doing a little bit more of that.
Nice.
Twitch streaming every Tuesday, Thursday, and Sunday at 9 p.m. That is www.twitch.tv/RvonD. And again, on any social media, RvonD is where you can find me. So please come say hello and just be nice.
What about Grant Hill as a...
Great. I like that.
As another
like
one. That. I'm going to do Just Basketball, I think. Like Horace Grant.
Just Basketball.
Harvey Grant. That's all I got. That's all.
I don't know. I'm out of ant names.
All right, Ryan. I'll see you around.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!